Assalamu alaikum, my dear respected listeners. I'm so pleased that you could join me for this Thursday's bedtime reading. Tonight, we shall continue learning about the graceful Hazrat Khadija radhiyallahu anha. I hope you are sitting comfortably. Chapter 2, A Woman Admired. O Abu al-Hakam, any good news? Asked a well-dressed young man, approaching the chieftain with a wry smile and a twinkle in his eye. She wouldn't hear of it, Abu al-Hakam exclaimed, shrugging his shoulders in disbelief, his chubby hand adorned with three heavy gold rings, complete with red and green gemstones, reached out for the earthenware platter in front of his four friends. He examined one date, then another, with his beady brown eye, and having found a suitably fleshy one, tossed it into his mouth and allowed the velvety soft fruit to melt on his tongue. Abu al-Hakam was one of the most eligible gentlemen of Makkah. His turban glimmered as the sun caught the delicate embroidery, embellishing its folds. His smart, striped Yemeni cloak stood out, as did his sparkling medallion, which dangled on top of his red garment made of the most luxurious silk in China. A bejeweled belt adorned his waist, and upon his feet were the most expensive leather sandals that the Romans could offer. The heat in Mecca was oppressive at the best of times, and today the sun was beating down relentlessly, such that Abu al-Hakam could hardly see. His real name was Amr bin Hisham, but since he considered himself to be a man of superior intelligence, he preferred to be known by his kunya, which meant father of wisdom. He always carried a whip made of tightly bound leather, which he used to fend off flies. Today, he was in the mood for a game of dice and was heading towards a group of his friends who sat gambling near the western entrance to the sanctuary. Perhaps Khadija is still grieving the death of her husband Abu Hala, the young man offered, as if to console his comrade. Abu al-Hakam began shaking his head. A woman like Hind, Khadija al-Tahira, is highly sought after, he replied. Do you really think I'm the only one who has asked for her hand in marriage? Ha! Every nobleman of Makkah has been to propose to her. After all, she is from Banu Asad, of the best of Quraysh. Not to mention that she's intelligent, beautiful, noble, he continued, counting Khadija radiallahu's virtues upon his fingers. In other words, a suitable match for yours truly, wouldn't you say? Ha ha ha. He poked his friend, his shoulders jiggling as he laughed. Then he rolled the dice to join in with their game. Oh, and she's rich, the chieftain's young friend added from behind his hand with a wink. Rich, Khadija's caravan is so colossal that when it is lined up ready for a journey, it stretches as far as the eye can see, agreed Abu al-Hakam, his eyebrows jumping up as he waved his arms wildly in momentary excitement, but then allowed them to fall by his side. He stared despondently upwards to the sky, with eyes drooping at the sides, as he wondered why a woman like her would have rejected a man like him. She doesn't need a man to look after her, he concluded. She has her children, slaves, the menfolk of her family, her uncle at the head of them, never far from her side. He waved his hand in front of his face, as if to cast away his hard feelings and any dreams of marrying Khadija along with them. Back to your game. Come on, I am sure to win this round. The mournful chieftain was at least in part right. The Banu Asad were a large, wealthy family who were in no need of support. Besides this, Khadija's late husband had left her the caravan, which she now presided over and was her source of income. Hers was the finest camels laden with goods from Yemen in the south and Basra to the north. Loaded on the back of those burly beasts was a veritable feast for the senses. Exquisite Indian spices, pungent perfumes and soft silks of every shade. There were tanned leather skins, wooden pots and ornaments made of the whitest ivory and the blackest ebony. The home of Khadija Rudanha was on Al-Attarin Ali, a stone's throw away from the Kaaba and close to Mount Marwa, where her ancestor Hajar had once desperately run to find water for her starving baby. Makkah was the ideal place for trade, since every year pilgrims from all over Arabia would swarm to the city and visit the holy sanctuary built by her forefathers, Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam. Around the corner from Khadija's house were the marketplaces of Mecca. There was the bow maker's market, the milk market, and the leather tailor's market springing out of alleyways that brimmed with life. Pilgrims were greeted and travellers bade farewell. Young men carried enormous bundles of firewood home on their shoulders, while slave girls dragged pails of milk to their masters' homes. People weaved to and fro, trying to avoid bumping into the shabby grey donkeys carrying bags of dates or barley to the market. Homes in Mecca were packed close together and made of mud bricks or stone, which provided cool shelter during the day. At noon, the sun was at its hottest. Young and old would enter their homes and take a qailula, or a short nap, to rejuvenate themselves for what would otherwise have been a terribly long day. Tragedy struck Khadija Radhiyallahu's house when she was widowed for the second time with the death of her husband, Abu Hala. Since then, she had not married again and lived with her sons, Hind and Hala, and her daughter, Muhammad. They provided a lively yet soothing presence in her life. When her husband died, leaving behind his caravans, she decided to set about carefully managing it. Ever since the great Hashim of Quraysh made the very first journeys of the summer and winter, every family of note prepared camels loaded with goods to buy and sell and seek their fortune. So, in the winter, when Sham was covered in frosty snow, the caravan would head south to Yemen, where the climate was warmer and more welcoming. And in the summer, they would head north for Basra in Sham. Then, during the pilgrimage season, when people from all over the peninsula flocked to Mecca, the marketplaces boomed with life. The clear water of the well of Zamzam offered relief to their travelling customers and was considered Mecca's most prestigious asset. This, coupled with the Quraysh's legendary hospitality, had made Mecca the trade capital of Arabia, and the most desirable merchandise was to be found in its caravans. Khadija Ridwan's uncle, Amr bin Asad, and brothers Awam and Hizam lived not far from her home. Her nephew, Hakim bin Hizam, a handsome young man with a beaming face, was very fond of her and often skipped past her house, dropping in to see if she needed anything. Her family, along with her thriving business, kept Khadija Ridwan suitably busy all year round. But it was neither her riches nor her family nor her grief that was preventing Khadija Radhiyallahu from accepting the marriage proposal of the best men the Quraysh had to offer. She simply hadn't found the right man yet. Alhamdulillah. This is the end of chapter 2, inshallah. So, just a quick overview of what we've learned from this chapter, engaging chapter. We start to see how Khadija Radhiyallahu was not excited by wealth or having a status. She did not lead looking after. Far from that. We also start to understand how she was a devoted mother and how she was an honourable woman. You know, we see this from the way she continued her late husband's business. I hope you, like me, my dear listeners, are getting eager to find out how Khadija Radhiyallahu became a great legend of early Islam. Now, dear listeners, it's come to that time of the session where I want to encourage everyone to act on another great sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Last week we mentioned the act of the miswak. And tonight, inshallah, let's encourage one another that when we go to sleep, we follow the ways of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and we try to sleep on our right hand side, inshallah. And finally, before we end this show, let's all pray the sleeping dua together. Now, if everybody's ready, Allahumma bismika amutu wa ahya. Jazakallah all for tuning in. Until next week, assalamu alaikum.